Okay, we're starting with the Gemara here on the top of Samach Dadam and Aleph. The Gemara is still addressing the issue that was raised at the bottom of Samach Gimel and Bet, which is that Bnei Israel really knew that Avodah Zarah was not real. They just worshipped it in order to be matir them for themselves, the Arayot. Basically, they used it as an excuse to poter themselves from any obligations, to remove from themselves any obligations of keeping the Torah, and therefore they worshipped Avodah Zarah, but they knew there was no substance to Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, is that really true? Tashma. So this is 2, 4, 6 lines down on Samach Aramid Aleph. Tashma. Vayzaku b'kol gadol l'Hashem Elokeihem. So this is talking about in the time of Ezra. It's Rosh Hashanah in the time of the Shavei Bavel, those that have come back to Eretz Yisrael. And Ezra's read to them the Torah, and there's this major tshuva movement coming about. And then they call out to Hashem. So over here, in the Psukim, it sounds like the Levi'im are the ones that are calling out to Hashem. Over here, Rashi claims that it was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. My Amur, what did they say? Am Yehuda, v'yutem Rabbi Yonatan. This is what they said. Bye, bye. And it means like they were moaning, groaning, or whoa, whoa. Is to me, Hainu da'achravei lebeito. This Avodah Zarah is the thing that destroyed our Beis HaMikdash. V'kal yalei heichala and left the heichal in flames. V'katlinu le'tzadike and killed out the tzadikim. V'aglinu le'Yisrael me'arayu and threw Bnei Yisrael off their land. V'adayinu merakeid beinan. And he's still walking around. Things are still good. Klom yihavtei lan ela lekublei be'agro. The only reason that you gave us the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah is so that we get schar for overcoming the Yetzer Hara. So, we don't want it, and we don't want the schar. Let's get rid of this Yetzer Hara. It's too much for us to overcome, so let's get rid of the Yetzer Hara, and we won't have the schar either. Maybe we don't want the bad, we don't want the good, we don't want it at all. So the Gemara again here answers, as it's done in the previous two cases, Bato Avikube. That's after they got into it. I mean, originally they did not worship the Avodah Zarah out of thinking that it was real or being drawn after it. They knew it was an excuse for them to violate the laws of the Torah. But once they already got hooked into it, then it became something that they were drawn after. So this is, again, once they got hooked into the Avodah Zarah, then they ran after it. So now, the Gemara continues the story. That was like in parentheses to answer the question about, oh, how could it be that they didn't think it was real? So that's Batar Avikube. Now we continue the story. Yotvu Tlata Yom Abatan Nito. They sat for 3 days in Atani in fasting. Bau Rachme. And they were asking for Rachamim from the Yitzhara Varazara. Nafalhu Pitko Merikia. From the heavens came down a note. Dahabuktiv Ba Emet. That on it was written Emet. Amar Rav Chanina. Shmamina Chutamao Shalakarish Baruch Hu Emet. First of all, that Chanina says that must be the signature of Hashem. The petek, the note that came down from heaven, was Hashem signing off and saying, I agree with you. But when he signed it, it said Emet. So that must be the signature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Emet. Emet means truth, absolute knowledge, absolute. Everything belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Emet. Emet is the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the meaning here is means that Hashem is maskim, is agrees to you. And he signed that, yes, you're right about this. So now, what happens? Nafa kiguriyad nura mibei kodesh hakodoshim came out like a lion of fire from the kodesh hakodoshim. This is the Yitzhar Avodah Zarah. Amalu Navi Yisrael, Haino Yitzro da Avodah Zarah. The Navi says to Pip, that's the Yitzhar Avodah for Avodah Zarah. That's leaving now. Bahadi the Kataf Selei. When he was going out, Ishtame Benito Amine, one pear fell off of him. Vazal Kalya Avarba Mea Parsa, and it burnt up 400 Parsaot. I mean, that's how much, I mean, the strength or the fire. Again, indications of how strong this Avodah Zarah was. So, Amru Heichen Avid. Now, what are we going to do? Dilma Mishamaya Merachmele. Now that we got him out, maybe they'll have Rachamim on him from Shemaim, and they'll bring him back. How do we ensure that he doesn't come back? So Amalei Novi, so Novi says to them, Shadua Beduda da Avro, take him into a canister, some sort of cylinder made out of lead, Kesuva Avro, and then cover it with a lead cover, the Shaiv Kalei, because it mutes the sound that's inside of it, so nobody will hear the Eitzara inside of it. Dichtiv, because it says, Vayomer Zot Harisha, this is in the Nevuah of Zechariah, he's looking up and he sees a woman flying in Be'ifa, and it says, Zot Harisha, Vayashlech Otai Otocha Ifa, threw into the Ifa, Vayashlech Et, there's no hay in the Pasuk, Et Evan Ha'uferet El Pia, they stuck or plugged their mouth with a piece of lead, meaning that there it's representing, again, the either the Yetzer Hara, or it's representing evil, this woman, and it says when they want to stop it, they plugged it with Oferet. So also over here, when they wanted to capture the Avodah Zarah, and they wanted the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah, they wanted to encapsulate it, then they put it into lead, so that would ensure that it could not come back, or could not rejuvenate itself. So then the Gemara says, well, when this, wow, we're doing well now. We got rid of the Yetzer Hara. What is Hara? We may as well get rid of other Yetzer Harot. Let's get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Arayot, and we'll be wonderful. So so they did that. They were giving it to it. So they captured it, and they locked it up for 3 days. They looked around, or B'chol Eretz Yisrael, they looked around after 3 days for a fresh egg, and there were no fresh eggs. They couldn't find it. So why? Because not the Yetzer Hara for Arayot was taken away. Arayot also manifest themselves in the birth of eggs and the birth of children, meaning that Arayot is not simply evil. So what do they say? So Amrei Hechenabe, what can we do? Nibayipalga. So what do we say? We'll get rid of the bad stuff. We'll get rid of the Arayot, and we'll get rid of everything that's bad, and we'll keep that which is good. Palga Merkir Lo'avi. That doesn't work. The Yetzer Hara doesn't come in halves. We'll explain this in a second. So kachlino le'enei, they colored it in his eyes, meaning they blinded him. So that helped enough to reduce the Yetzer Hara for Arayot, that people don't anymore have the drive or the desire for relatives. Although it still remains for Eish Adish, the Yetzer Hara for Eish Adish and for Nidan, for illicit relations outside of one's close relatives, still remained. So now this Gemara is very, very fundamental. It's one of the fundamental tenets of Judaism, unlike most other religions and probably all other religions, that Yadus does not believe that anything is inherently evil. There's no such thing as something that's inherently evil. Everything in the world that Hashem created has the ability to be used for good and used for bad, and that includes the drives, whether it's a sexual drive or the drive for getting close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. These are drives that inherently are neutral. A person can use them or can corral them or leverage them to do good, but they're also going to do bad. And that's exactly what we see in the Gemara here. The Gemara says about the Yitzhara for Arayot. That's a sexual desire. A sexual desire can be used for the good. It can be to procreate, to create a family, and to have children. It also can be for animals to procreate, and to have fresh eggs and to have food. All of those are positive manifestations of the sexual drive. But it also can be in the negative. The negative side is that it can be used for Arayot, it can be used for illicit relations, it can be used for marriages out of wedlock, or the children out of wedlock. All of these things are negative manifestations of the sexual drive. So for that reason, when they went and took away the Yetzer Hara for Arayot, when they took it away, they took away the sexual drive, which manifests itself both in good and bad. When they took that away, there was nothing left, not the good nor the bad. So what they had to do in the end, and that's what the Gemara means when it says, you can't take away for palgo, you can't leave half. Taking away the sexual desire, you can't say, oh, we'll take away the bad sexual desire, but not the good one. That doesn't work. Because once you've done that, the sexual desire is neutral. If you take it away, it works both for good or bad, meaning it eliminates the ability to have good or bad. So in the end, what they did was that they blinded the Avodah Zarah, they reduced the Yetzer Hara for Arayot, to the sense that people don't have as strong a desire for relatives, but nevertheless, they still have desire. They need to have a sexual desire, otherwise they wouldn't get married, they wouldn't have children, we wouldn't have fresh eggs. So that desire had to remain, and then we still have to manifest it for the good, but they reduced that sexual desire so that at least a part of it, or that the manifestation, the evil side, would not come about. And I just personally always think that people many times, as a remnant of that Yetzer Hara, the people so many times, the people's wives, or the people they marry, look similar to, whether it's their sister, their mother, or some other female relative, meaning that there is a manifestation still of that small Yetzer Hara for Arayot. But that's the good manifestation of it, meaning that they marry someone that's similar to their close relatives, but not having Arayot with their relatives. Now the Agra says it's also with regards to the Avodah Zarah, the same thing happened then. Right, we said everything in the world is neutral, and there's a desire, and that desire can be used for good or bad. By the case of Avodah Zarah, we don't see the other side of that. We say that they took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, and then there was no more Avodah Zarah. That was wonderful. What was lost alongside with Avodah Zarah? So the truth is that the Avodah Zarah is really a manifestation of the drive to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People are trying, or the Shifa, to draw close to God. That drive to draw closer to God can manifest itself in two ways. One way is Avodah Zarah. The other way is Nivuah. And that's what the verse says over here. We know the Pasuk that they quoted is from Nehemiah, but it's Ezra, in the time of Nehemiah, the Achronim Shel HaNeviim, the end of the period of Nivuah for Klal Yisrael. And that's true. When they eliminated the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, they also eliminated Nivuah, because that's the same drive. The drive to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests itself in Avodah Zarah. It could also be leveraged or used to get closer to Hashem in Nivuah. So when they got rid of the Avodah Zarah, Pascha Nivuah Mitzrayim, that was the end of the period of Nivuah for Israel. So again, very, very fundamental point in Yadus, that everything is neutral and that we have to leverage what's given to us, even though they seem base, like sexual drives or the eating drive to eat. All these things can be corralled and leveraged to do things that are good, or they can be used for evil, and we have to make that choice. Nothing is inherently evil, and we see that very, very clearly from this Gemara, as opposed to other religions which see certain ideas or certain drives as fundamentally evil, and therefore try to avoid them in their entirety. So now the Gemara continues. There was this woman, this non-Jewish woman, she was deathly ill. Amra, im tamoda hi isha mechulia, if I survive this sickness, telech tavo duchol avodah zara, I'll go and worship every avodah zara in the world. So amda, she did survive, she was recovered from this illness. Valcha, duchol avodah zara shalom, she kept her word. She went around and worshipped every avodah zara in the world. Kevin she gela peor, she reached to peor. Sha'ala l'kumrim, she asked the priest of peor, but how do we worship this peor? Amrula, Ochlin taradin v'shutin shechar, we eat beets and we drink beer, umatrizim b'fanel, and then you defecate in front of it. Amra mutav shetachzor aisha l'cholia, better I go back to being sick. Lo tavod avodah zarah b'kach. I can't, better than that, to worship avodah zarah in this manner. So that's the idea, or probably why the story is brought over here, is to show you, or to reinforce the point we said before, that was clear, B'nai Yisrael did not believe in the Avodah Zarah when they first went to it. The reason they went to Baal Peor was not because they believed in Baal Peor, they went to Baal Peor because that allowed them to sleep with the Benot Ma'av or the Benot Midian. That they wanted to get outside, they wanted to relieve themselves of the mitzvot, and therefore they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. So you see here, from a woman who was deathly ill, got better, and she went to keep her promise, she gets to Baal Peor, she goes, I can't believe that anybody would worship anything like this. And yet, B'nai Yisrael did that in the Midbar. They went and worshipped the Baal Peor. So now the Gemara continues, well, Batem, Beit Yisrael, Einon Chein. When it comes to you, Beit Yisrael, you're not like this. Because Hanitzmadim, the Baal Peor, that they bow down to Baal Peor, but they use the term tzamad, the verb tzamad, to get close. Kitzamid patil. Tzamid patil is something that's wrapped around tightly around it, something that stays. It's a decoration or a patil tchelik we have on the tzitzit, which is wrapped around tightly, that stays tightly. Whereas when it came to Hashem, the verb that's used is devak, that we get close to Hashem. But here it's dveikot, it's like two dates that are stuck together. So they're stuck together, but they can still fall apart. So this indication is that there are criticism. It's almost as a negative statement about Klal Yisrael, based on the story of Amar Yehuda Marav, says that Bnei Yisrael, that they were nitzmadim to Baal Peor. When they went to Baal Peor, they were nitzmad. They got close to it. They got very attached to it. I mean, that they use a verb of closeness, and that doesn't break apart afterwards. On the other hand, when it came to Akash Baruch Hu, the verb that's used is davak. Davak is something that's stuck together, but can fall apart again. That was a criticism. When it came to Avodah Zarah, that they gave themselves over so much so that they were tied to the Avodah Zarah. When it came to Hashem, they were hedging a little bit, and they didn't get so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, on the other hand, we have a Matnitza Tano in a Braisa, so we have the opposite. That Nitzmadim the Baal Peor, Kitzamira Yidei Ish'a. That no, the Nitzmadim the Baal Peor uses the word Samid, referring to like a bracelet on a woman's arm. A bracelet on a woman's arm is free, it floats around, it moves, so that's not tied tightly. Vatem Advikim Hashem Lekechem Dvukim Mamash, means we're enjoined, that we're to join in the hip with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a positive statement about Bnei Yisrael. When it came to Baal Peor, when they worshipped it, but they weren't so tied to it. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're really tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a more positive view of the change in verb between Samid and Davak. So Tamar Rabbanan, Maseh B'Sabta Ben, or Sabata Ben Alas. Now, Sabata is the name of the individual. Ben Alas is from the city or place of Alas. He rented out. He was a donkey driver. And a woman rented it out. She paid for him to drive her somewhere. Came and she yelled at Peor. They were driving by Peor. Amralo Hemtein, Ad Sheakanes. Wait outside. So I'm just going to go inside for a second. Veitzei. And I'll come back out. Acha Sheatza Amarla Afan Af At Hemtini. After she finished, he goes see the driver, the Jewish driver's sister. Listen, yeah, you hang out over here for a second. Ashok and Eshbet in. I'll go in and come out also. So Amarla, Velo Yehudi Ata. Aren't you Jewish? Why are you going in this? Amarla, Ma'ivich Batlach. Well, what does it make a difference to you? Why do you care what I do? So Nechnas. So she went in and Pa'ar Bifanav. He defecated in front of it. And he wiped himself. He wiped off his all that remained on his body, wiped it off on the nose of the peor. He used that as his toilet paper. What is it? And the Komrim there, the priests, and those that serviced the Baal Peor were praising him. There's no person who did such a great job as worshipping the Baal Peor. So, obviously, some lessons from the story here, that the woman who went in to worship Peor, right, she went in because that's what she did, but when she saw a Jew driving, she said the Jews are different, and she could see as an outsider that they should be different. How would they ever go and worship the Peor? Yet this person went ahead, meaning that she could see what he couldn't see, which is that you're a Jew, how could you go in and do this? Yet he went in anyway. And when he goes in, that's the other thing, that when he went in, he went and did it even better, as they say, than anybody. He did it the Chumrah and the Mahadran, that he went ahead, and when he wanted to worship the Avodah Zarah, he didn't just do it like they did, or they had a Kabbalah from the others that did it. He went in there to be Mahadir, to do it extra carefully. So it's, again, a negative story about the Jews tied to Baal Peor. But again, explaining that even though this is a very strange type of Avodah Zarah, that people were drawn to it, and that you can see how strong the Yetzer Hara is, because what seems to be something that would be implausible to us, they were drawn to this type of Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara continues, Apo'or atzmo the Baal Peor, someone who defecates in front of Baal Peor, is there Avodato? That's the way that you worship it. Afa gav de mikavin the vizui. Even though you're intending it to be something that's negative or denigrating towards the Avodah Zarah, but if this is the way it's worshipped, and you do it this way, then you are chayav. Vazarek even the markulis. If you throw a rock at a markulis, zui avodato. This is the way it's worshipped. Avagad mekavin the mirgame. Even though you're stoning it, as in the sense that you're doing in, again, a denigrating way, that you're throwing a rock at the Avodah Zarah. Since this is the way to worship it, therefore you are chayav in these cases. So there are two Tosfot team here that are interesting. One is markulis, which is probably from the Mishnah. It's Rabbeinu Tam. The Mishnah explains the derivative of the term markulis. Rabbeinu Tam is kilush shema. That the name of the Avodah Zarah is really kilus, which means to praise. And then, elesh mechachamim kinu oto leginai. Chamim changed its name to be negative, which is vekaru kolis leshon laag. So they changed it from kilus, which is to praise, to kolis, which is to make fun of, and kalas. Umar leshon chiluf. And mar means the flip, or the opposite of. So it's mar kolis. So the opposite of making fun of is the name of this Avodah Zarah, which is kilus, to praise. So that's how he says the derivative of the name is. The other thing that Tosus mentions over here, which is very interesting, because it has a tremendous nafkaminot over here, Tosus says that even though he's mekavin the bizuya, that he intends to be denigrating towards the Avodah Zarah, he says, ule ovda bebizui. He says that he has to be worshiping it derech bizui, and that his intent here is to worship the Avodah Zarah. He just thinks he's doing something that's denigrating towards the Avodah Zarah. And that's what the Gemara, or the intent of our Mishnah, when it says this, is that even though these are denigrating things to do towards anybody or any Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, since this is the derech v'kach yor chayav, but if you have no intention to worship it whatsoever, then, of course, you're not going to be chayav. We said before that if you worship me'avo ira, Rava says you're potor. Over here, certainly when you're trying to do something that is bazui or denigrating, there you cannot say that. Now, the Marsha says, and we're going to see with a subsequent story, that it doesn't sound so right in Tosus. So Marsha separates between what's called the chiyuv miso and the chiyuv korban chatat. When it comes to mita, when it comes to being putting to death, that's where Tosus makes this qualification, meaning that you cannot be put to death if you didn't worship the Avodah Zarah. If you're doing something that's denigrating towards the Avodah Zarah, even though this is darka, you will not be put to death. You will still be chayav chatat because you didn't realize that you can't do this. And that's what the difference is. Only if you intend to worship it will you get mita, even though it's done derech denigrating way. But if you denigrate it and you don't intend to worship it, even though this is the way that you worship it, you will not be chayav mita, but you will be chayav a korban chatat. And that, from the subsequent story we're just about to read, you'll see that they have to explain something like this. Because Rabbi Nasha avaka azil de bei turta, Nasha was going along the way to a place called Beri Turta. Rabbi Zarahi, they said over here, this is an Avodah Zarah, the koyach, and it stays over here. Shakal pisa, he took like a shard of something, of cheres, of clay, vishadabe, and threw it at it, and again, in a denigrating way. Amalo, Markulusi, how could you do that? That's Markulus, that's how they worship it, they throw things at it. Samuloho, Hazarek Evan Limarkulus Tanan. In the way I have the Mishnah written, it says Hazarek Evan Limarkulus, to Markulus. I mean, it has to be done in a way that is Limarkulus to Derech Avodah, and not Derech a way of denigration. Atoshal Bei Medusha, but when he got back home, he went to the Beis Medrash, asked them, what do they have? Amalei, Hazarek Evan Bimarkulus Tanan. Our Mishnah reads that it's Bimarkulus, not Limarkulus, meaning that anybody who throws a rock at Markulus is problematic. Avagad mekavin the mirgame, even though your intent is to stone it, nevertheless, you are chayav. So he says, oh, maybe I should go back and remove the stone. Maybe if the avodah is to throw the stone at it, maybe I should remove the stone. So it doesn't matter whether you place a stone there or remove a stone from there, both of those are chayav. Because when you go remove the stone, you're making room for the next person to worship it. So that's a part of the avodah. I mean that if you throw it at it or you remove it, that's all part of the avodah. But what you see from Rav Nasha is that he threw the stone clearly in a manner that was not to worship it and was in a denigrating manner. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said he was chayav. So how do you reconcile that with Tosfos? That's what the Marsha says. Here we're talking about the Chatat. He's chayav a Chatat. He did it b'shogeg. He shouldn't have thrown it here, even though he's doing a denigrating matter. But he's not going to be chayav mitah because he didn't intend to worship it. And that's how the Marsha reconciles. He quotes the Rambam as well as the Kesef Mishneh that say a similar thing, or similar explanation. And therefore, he says that that's the way to explain Tosfos and reconcile with this story. So now the next Mishnah says the next item in our list of individuals or types of Yisurim that get skila, notain mizarol the molech. Eno chayav ad shimsor the molech. This worship of molech, you only chayav once you give it over to the molech, be'avir be'esh, and then it's taken through the fire. Masar the molech, and we gave it over to the molech, which are those that run the show, the meshartei ha-molech. But you didn't. Perlo yavir be'esh, it wasn't taken through the fire. Yavir be'esh, or the child was taken through the fire, below masar the molech, but wasn't given over to the molech. Enu chayav, and you're not chayav. Actually, it's more the molech. Ve'avir be'esh. You need both. You have to actually give it over, which the Gemara will discuss why or where we learn that from Psukim. But it has to be given over to the mishartim of the molech, plus the child has to be taken through the fire. So now the Gemara wants to know: Ketani avodah zarah, ketani molech. Wait, we have avodah zarah, we have molech. Molech is just a subset or a manifestation of avodah zarah. Why do we need two separate listings? One of avodah zarah and one of molech. Molech is avodah zarah. Why do I need both of them? Now, the Gemara did not ask this by Peor and by Markulis, because it's clear in the previous Mishnah they're coming to explain something about Peor and Markulis, some detail about that even though they're worshipped in a denigrating manner, that's still considered avodah. And that's just a explanation of the category of avodah zarah. Because if you go back to the original Mishnah that lists all the skilot, there's no Peor or Markulis, it's just avodah zarah. It's only the later Mishnah where it comes to expound upon avodah zarah. Doesn't mention Peor or Markulis, and that's again it's expounding or expanding on the explanation of avodah zarah. But here Molech is a separate name in the list. Why is it different? So the Mara says, "Amar Rabbi Avin Tanan Kiman Amar Molech Avodah Zarah." Our Mishnah is according to one who says that Molech is separate from Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah; it's something independent. Rashi calls it Chok Hulahem. It's one of their strange things or customs that they have. Torah Hikpira Chok Ze. Torah says, "I don't want you doing this. This what they do, and if you do it, you're going to get skila." And therefore, it's written down. It's written down because it's separate from Avodah Zarah. It's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's about something that they, a minhag or of theirs, of these amim, and you're allowed to copy this minhag or do this minhag. The Tanya, we have a braisa. Echad the molech, echad the shara Avodah Zarah, chayav. That it doesn't matter whether you do this to the molech. I mean, that person gives over his child and brings him in front of the, through the eish, in front of Avodah Zarah, in front of the molech, you're chayav. Because there's no difference. Molech is Avodah Zarah. Therefore, if you do it to any other Avodah Zarah, it'd be the same thing. When you do it to the Molech, you're Chayav, because that's the way that they did this ceremony. On the other hand, when it's not to the Molech, you're Patur, because that's not the way that people worship the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it's not Shaloki Darko. Now, it's Shaloki Darko, you should be Chayav, because it's Shaloki Darko. So we'll discuss that in a minute. Why aren't you Chayav for that point? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus, Amru Davar Achad. That the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus are similar in the fact that they believe that Molech is separate from Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Had Amran, we already mentioned in the previous Braisa, that Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus is from this Braisa. The time Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus, Ma Tafsa Torah Lashon Molech. Right? What does the Lashon of Molech mean? Kol Shim Luchu Alehem, Afilu Tzor, Afilu Kisem. That's anything that you make into a king or master over you, even a small pebble or a splinter of some sort, a small piece of wood. So over here you see it's clear this is not a avodah zarah. When I'm talking about pebbles and splinters, this is not a type of avodah zarah. What we're talking about is something called the molech, this ceremony of the molech, and that they can make up, they can put up these pebbles or whatever it is that they assign to be the ceremony in front of. That's fine, but that's not the form of avodah zarah. So Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus and Rabbi Elazar Shimon believe that this form of worship is unique to the molech and not assigned or not relevant to other forms of avodah zarah. Rabbah disagrees with the Bai and says, no, molech arai ike benayu. There is a difference between Rabbi Chanina ben Taginus and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon because that's molech arai. if they do this molech, they create this molech, which is a temporary molech. It's not the fixed location where they do it or not, a special place where they do it, but you just set up one on the roadside with a pebble and a stick. So those are, again, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Tugnios, that's enough. Anything that you call the molech, that's sufficient. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, you need real molech. You need something of significance, of chashivut, in order to be classified as a molech kavua, and therefore you'll be chayav. So he says there is a difference, even though they have the same shita that molech is not a avodah zarah, nevertheless they have a difference between them, which is that molech kavua is the only one you're chayav for, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. According to Chanina ben Tugnios, for any type of molech, you're going to be chayav. So, so again, regarding the question that we asked before, if it's shelo kedarka by avodah zarah, how do we know that you're, why shouldn't you be chayav? Even if you say that molech, this is the way they worship the molech, and molech is separate from avodah zarah. The answer is that if the pasuk or the Torah went out of its way to explain to us that this is the avodah of the molech, that means or implies that this is not something that would be shelo kedarka by avodah zarah. It's not sufficient to reach the level of shelo kedarka by avodah zarah. Otherwise, it shouldn't have just written it by the molech. It should have written it by avodah zarah as well. The fact that it limits it to the molech, which is not avodah zarah, comes to teach us that even shelo kedarka, if you take this and you maver b'no b'ito the molech, or but you do it to avodah zarah instead, that's not going to be considered worshiping avodah zarah because they're two separate entities. As opposed to the one who says that molech and avodah zarah are one item, then all the molech is teaching you about is this is the derech for this molech. But that means that it's a type of avodah that applies to any type of avodah zarah, and therefore even if you do it shelo kedarka by other forms of avodah zarah, even though it's not their normal form of worship, nevertheless you will be chayav in those cases. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Enu Chayav, Aichim Sereno, the Mishartei Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yanai is going back on the mission and says that you have to give it over to the people who are the priests or the worshippers or the ones who work around the molech. Why? How do you know this? Shneamar, it says, Umizaracha lo titain lehavir the molech. Doesn't say, again, not, it doesn't say lo titain the molech or lo lehavir the molech, but it says lo titain lehavir. Lehavir sounds like someone else is going to take them through, so don't give it over to the individuals who are going to carry them through. Tanya Nami Ochi, a brisa that supports that understanding. Yachol he'evir velo masar. I would think if he brought him through the fires of the molech velo masar and he didn't give him over to the mishartim, to the kohanim, he'chayav, tamalomar lo titain. Don't give. Meaning a give means sounds like you give it over to someone else to do it. Masar le molech, if you gave it over to those that worship the molech velo evir, but it was never taken through the fire, yachol he'chayav, you think it'd be chayav, tamalomar le ha'avir, that it has to be taken through the fire. Masar vehevir shalol molech, and again, if you give it over and you take it through the fire, but it's not done for the molech, yochol chayev tamalomer la molech. You have to do it directly for the molech itself. So now masar vehevir the molech velo beish, and he didn't do it through a fire. Yochol chayev nemar kan lahavir nemar lahalan lo yimatzei becham avir bino bito beish. Also, the hekesh or gzer shav between the havara here and the havara that we saw before. Before it says, don't put your children through the fire. And over here it says, don't put them in front of the molech. So just like over there, ma'ala halan be'ish, avkan be'ish. Just like over there, it's talking about eish. So to over here, we're talking about fire. Makan molech. Over here in our pasuk, it's talking about the molech. Af lahalan. Also over there, when it's talking about the eish, it's also talking about the molech. So it's coming to make gzer shava to say the psukim are talking about the same avodah of the molech. So therefore, to violate the Easter of molech, you have to do, but it turns out to be four things. One is you have to give it over to the mishartei of the molech. Number two is you have to be carried mavir. You have to take it in front of the molech. Number three is it has to be done for the molech. And number four is it has to be between fire. The fire has to be involved in this process. So Ma'amar Ravacha Breit Rava, Hevir Kol Zaro Patur. Someone who takes or gives all of his children, his descendants, over to the molech is Patur. Because it says, Shneamar Mizaracha, Velo Kol Zaracha, portion of your descendants, but not all of your descendants. Again, Tosfos asks, I mean, it's obvious if you give all of your descendants that at the first one that you took was part of your descendants. So it does give us two answers. Either it's the only child, and therefore that's all of your descendants, and therefore you never chayav, or he does it bevat achad. He takes all the children in one shot and puts them through. By Ravashi, if you rose sum'a mahu, if he took him through and he was blind, yashan, or if he was sleeping, mahu. Ben beno uben bito mahu. If it's his grandchildren, also, what's the din? Meaning, does it only beno bito? Or does it also include grandchildren? Tifsho miyochado. We don't have an answer to all of these about sleeping or suma, even though we can't answer those questions. Let us at least answer the question of whether grandchildren are classified as being violating the molech. Because it says, Tanya, ki mizaro natan the molech. He gave from his offspring to the molech. Matam alomar. Because the other pasuk says, I would think, I would think it was limited to children. Ben Beno Ben Bito Minayin. Tamal Omer Bitito Mizaro Lemolech. He gives from his descendants to the Molech. Now it's strange because the Brisa started one part of the pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk, and then it brings the latter half of the pasuk to prove the point. Bitito Mizaro. So why doesn't the pasuk actually uses the term zero twice, and it brings a different pasuk to prove the point that it started out with it? Tana patach b'chizaro started with the part of the pasuk of b'chizaro, misalik b'titel mizaro. So now why is it using two psukim or two word times the word zero for the same limud? So drasha achrinahu. There's another drasha. Zero en li ela zera kasher. I would think only zera that is kasher. Zera pasul minayin. Tamalomar b'titel mizaro. So that teaches you both. Zero teaches you both not only just children, but even any descendant. And number two, it teaches you that it doesn't have to be zera kasher, it can be even zera pasul. And with regards to a child who's blind or who is sleeping, there Rashi claims the reason that we are asking this is because he couldn't take himself through. So that's why you would have to carry them through. So it's hevir only when you take them when they're able to do it themselves, but you still take them through. Or even when they're incapable of doing themselves with either sleeping or blind, nevertheless you take them through, you'd be chayav. And that the Gemara does not have an answer to. So Amar Rav Yehuda, if to take it through a way, havara, passing, or what does that mean? Hey chidami, what does havara mean? So Rabbi Shraga de Livne, you have a pile of bricks or a wall of bricks, but mitzay in the middle, nura mihagis and nura mihagis, and there's fire on either side, and you walk through it. You walk on this row of bricks, on this wall of bricks, and there's fire on either side. That's what the havara means, to pass through. Rav Amar kimishvarta de purayo. It's like the fire pits of Purim. On Purim, they dig pits in the ground like fires, and the kids jump over the pits. So according to Rava, havara means you have to actually jump. You have to jump over some sort of fire. Tanya kavasi de Rava. We have a brace that supports Rava's understanding. Inu chayav achivrenu. Yivrenu sounds like he has to do something actively. He has to actually jump. Derech av havara has to be done in a manner or form that is living. Hevira beregel, if you walk through, patur. So it sounds like here that you have to leave the ground and you can't simply walk through. That sounds much more like Rava. Enu chayav ela al yotzei yirecho. Right, it also limits this that you're only chayav for your descendants. Haketzat. What are descendants or offspring? Beno bito chayav. If it's his children, he's chayav. Aviv vimo. If it doesn't do his parents, achiv achoto, his brother and sister, patur. Over there he is, patur. Hevir atzmo. What happens if he takes himself through? Patur. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says mechayev. So here we have number one, we have one qualification or limitation that molech only applies to one's descendants, children or grandchildren. It doesn't apply to any other relative. Number two is, we have a machlokas here of Tanaim, whether it applies to an individual himself, if he takes himself through. Echad na molech v'ched desher avur zera chayav. Now again, this is the price that we quoted earlier in our Gemara, that it doesn't matter, molech and avur zera are synonymous, you're chayav. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omer, la molech chayav, shalom la molech patur. When it's the molech, you're chayav, because that's the derech avudavit of this chok, but patur, by avur zera, it's not chayav because this is in derech of avodah zarah, and even shloka darka doesn't qualify because it's not a normal way of worshipping these items. It's not one of those universal types of worship. So Amar Ula, my time with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason behind Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that when it comes to the individual himself, he is chayav? Amar Kra, lo yimetze b'cha, says that you shouldn't find in you, mavir b'no bito lemolech. So b'cha, b'atzmecha, even yourself you can't take through the molech. Rabbanan lo darshu b'cha, they don't learn the word b'cha. Vatnan, is that true? They don't learn the word b'cha. Vatnan, we have a bright mission that says, Avedoto v'avedetat aviv. When it's a choice between something that he's lost and something his father's lost, shelo kodemet. He should take, his item takes priority. The retrieval of his item takes priority. V'amina, my time, what's the reason for this? Amar Yudam Erakra, efes koleo b'cha evyon. Because there shouldn't be amongst you an evyon. Meaning that there is shelo kodemet la shelo kol adam. B'cha, you have the right to take care of yourself first. You can't make yourself poor helping other people. You must take care of yourself and then only take care of others. So the Gemara thinks that we're learning out of the word b'cha over here. So k'yalei b'cha evyon. You shouldn't be an evyon. And therefore, you have to protect yourself before you take care of someone else. Gemara says, no, we don't learn out of the word b'cha there, but we rather learn it out from the word efes. Ratami efes. Because the word efes is not the proper term. It should say, if Hashem wanted to make a haftacha, promise that there won't be any poor people, he should say, lo yei b'cha evyon. So what does the additional word ephes mean? So as Rashi says, the word ephes in this instance means that chadal v'kala, that remove or eliminate aniyut bimcha from you, meaning that remove or eliminate your poverty before you go and eliminate the poverty of others. So there's a precedent or a priority given into you before someone else. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chinya Shlosh Kritot Bar Vazara Lama or Lama. Why do we have three times the word the punishment of karet is mentioned? Achat. So the kadarka, achat shlo kadarka, v'achat the molech. These are the three things. Now, They are the karet that we're talking about, as Rashi points out here. They're actually two of them are written by the Molech, and one of them is written by Avodah Zarah itself in Parshat Shlach. So now, we're going to see in a second. Wait, we have the Manda Omar who says that Avodah Zarah and Molech are synonymous. That makes sense. Now we have three times it says it by Avodah Zarah. According to Manda Omar, that Molech and Avodah Zarah are separate, then it doesn't really say it three times. It says it two times by Molech, which is separate from Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says, even according to the one who says by Molech that it's something separate from Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, the Kares that is written over there, it's still referred to as an Avodah Zarah. Then, even despite the fact that it's written in there or under the category of Molech, it's written in that area that's discussing Avodah Zarah. It's written in the context of Avodah Zarah, and therefore we consider it a kares for Avodah Zarah. So the three of them are for what? One is Achad the Kedarka. If it's a normal way to worship, anything that's the derech of worship in Avodah Zarah, you're chayav. V'chad shalokidarka means that we have those certain avodot that are universal avodot that you can be chayav for, even if it's not kedarka. V'nachad the Molech, I want to make you chayav kares for the Molech. According to one who says that Molech is Avodah Zarah, why do we need a separate item for Molech? That's included in Darka and Shaloka Darka. So Kari b'Molech Lamali, what do I need the additional Karet for? L'mavir b'no Shaloka Darka. That teacher says that if you take your child through, it becomes a universal type of Avodah. So this is the key difference between these two opinions, is that the opinion says that Avodah Zarah and Molech are the same, they're synonymous, or Molech is a subset of Avodah Zarah. Molech becomes like Zvicha, Kitur, Nisicha, Hishtachavaya, that are universal forms of worship, so too, Mavir Banav becomes another one of these universal types of worship, and will be applied to any Avodah Zarah that you do it to, you're going to be Chayav. As opposed to the Manda Amar says that they're separate entities, then Molech is its own form of worship. It's its own form of worship. It doesn't have that universal quality. And therefore, even when it's Shaloka Darke, it won't help you by other forms of Avodah Zarah. Well, the Manda Amar Migadef Avodah Zarahi, there's a Machlokes, about the term Megadev. Maybe Megadev means Birkat Hashem, or does Megadev mean Avodah Zarah? But according to him, it says Megadev is Avodah Zarah, Karet, B'Megadev, Lamali. Then I've had a fourth Karet, which is by Megadev. What do I do with that? The Tanya, that we use for Bais, Karet, Ti Karet, that's used by the Megadev, comes over by Avodah Zarah, which is coming to teach you, Hi Karet, B'Olam Hazeh, Ti Karet, Le'Olam Ha-Ba. That's you put to death in this world, and Karet means in the Olam Ha-Ba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's term. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel is not responding to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva thinks that Megadef is Birkat Hashem. So there really is no question of Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Shmuel comes along to say, Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, those that learn that it's not Avodah Zarah, Halok Var Nemar, V'nichvetah. It already says in the Pasuk, V'nichvetah, V'chishlosh Olamim Yesh. Why do I need the word Karet three times to appear? I mean, fine, Hikaret Lam Hazeh, Tikaret Lam Haba. What do I need three times? V'nichvetah B'Lam Hazeh, Hikaret Lam Haba, Tikaret is Dibra Tarak Lashon B'nei Adam. So the double Lashon is really not coming for the drasha like Rabbi Akiva says, but rather to teach it's Lashon B'nei Adam. It's the normal way people speak. It's the colloquial of the time. And he great to great. We're not going to learn anything from it. We have the extra word Nichwata. That extra word of Nichwata is going to teach us Olam Hazeh. Then he karet is Olam Haba. And he karet ti karet is just the colloquial or the normal language of people of that time. So now, Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with this extra word of Nichwata? That's what Tosfos asked over here. So Zim Tomar Rabbi Akiva, Nami Tikshe, Vichi Shlosh Olamot Yesh. Right? What is he going to do with this extra karet? So Tosfos answers that Rabbi Akiva must be using this Kidvar Hashem Bizah, that Karet, for another additional limud, or learns it for something else, not dealing with Avodah Zarah, so he won't have the extra Karet that Rabbi Shmuel is faced with. Okay, we'll stop over here.